sponsor a podcast for your school library, public library, whatever is whatever you work in, is what I'm trying to say. My name is Lucas Maxwell, and I'm the librarian at Glenthorne High School. I've been here about 10 years. My role with this podcast, what I'm trying to say, is to do a quick once a week, 20 minutes, really, like things I've done though during the week, things at work, things that don't work, highlight things, hopefully, that are helpful. The idea is that it's practical. Hopefully it is. I don't know, to be honest. Some people seem to dig it, but you never know. Today I'm going to talk about World Book Day activities. Now, World Book Day is something that is unique, in my opinion, to the UK. And when I came here, I can't believe it's been 10 years, but I didn't have a clue what they were talking about and why it was such a big deal. And I understand it. I have certain opinions on it, but I'm going to talk about activities that we do in the library here. And before that, though, I want to highlight something to you that I read recently. It's a blog post by a great librarian, Barbara Brand, who created wrote a post just on dated Friday the 26th of January 2024, and it's called A Call to Arms for School Libraries. And I just thought it's worth your time to read. The blog is called Library Stuff. If you kind of Google Barbara Band, just how that sounds, library blog, it'll come right up. It's great. So it talks about basically her gathering up information about how libraries are in the spotlight right now. So 12 children's laureates teaming up with the charity Book Trust to launch Reading Together, Changing Lives Together campaign that is aiming to support families in the early stages of a children's reading journey. Also Philip Pullman and Michael Morpurgo, Julia Donaldson calling on the government to legislate to ensure all schools in Britain have libraries. Also Baroness Sanderson's review of public libraries. Also, the Ipsos Veracity Index that says librarians are the third most trusted in Britain. Anyway, it talks about Barbara's work with like mass lobbies in support of libraries, different reports. It just looks at the support of public and school libraries and the kind of horror show where things are, what's happening in the UK regarding the closure, the Conservative government closing down, 800 libraries since 2009, all sorts of stuff in here. I would just recommend there's Ofsted reports that talk about well-trained specialist libraries had a positive effect on teaching and learning, and the research from New Zealand and the Scottish Book Trust, which does tons of stuff. Pennsylvania study showing that schools that had a full-time librarian reading scores was consistently better for all students. And Barbara has written for Book Trust and, as I said, has decades of experience in libraries and is always a very reasonable, measured, very intellectual voice on social media is what I'm trying to say. Like, I always look at her information going, okay, there's going to be whatever she's putting out here, it's going to be well thought out. So read that post. You will be better for it. So over to World Book Day. Now, what I do in World Book Day here, and I'm not saying you have to do any of this stuff, I basically book it off as like a week-long set of activities. It is a ton of work, and everybody knows it. Anybody who works with World Book Day. I guess I would be remiss to point out that World Book Day did retract their... I missed it. So the day that this happened, there was this little controversy online about World Book Day. I missed it because I had the most ridiculous day on Wednesday when I think it happened. I had a guest come to the school and to visit, to shadow the library, to shadow me, I guess, which was great. I like it when that happens, but it just means, when you have guests, you can't sit down at the computer and just look at things, check emails or whatever. I had two guests throughout the day, and I had five library lessons. So they were kind of watching me lead a library lesson, which was really cool. They wanted to, I like it when other schools send people out. It wasn't a librarian, it was like a reading lead. This hopefully doesn't sound like bragging, but I was like, oh, you know, I am exhausted. I liked having the visitors. I love having visitors. So, you know, hopefully if you're listening to this, I doubt you are, but I'm not complaining about you visiting. I'm complaining about how tired I am. and we're all tired. Anyone who works in a school is exhausted, and rightly so. What am I trying to say? Oh, the controversy was that World Book Day put out some sort of pamphlet. I don't know what it was. I shouldn't be laughing at it. It just, I can understand why everyone got upset, really, because it was something like, I can't even be bothered to look it up now. I don't think you can find it. It was like things that promote reading for pleasure, and the little green check marks and little red X's next to the things. And it was like, read with your friends, green check mark. I don't know, go read at home, green check mark. And there was some reason they wrote visit the library and there was a big red X beside it. And I shouldn't be laughing because it is not dangerous, but it is damaging to the perception of libraries. When we get kicked in the face enough, especially with this government in control, and we get beaten down enough, and it's crazy that they put that. And they said it was they called it a clanger, I guess is the British term. I guess that means screw up. I don't know, mistake. There's other words I could use. But it's, you know, they retracted it and they said, we think libraries are great or blah, blah, blah. You know, whether it was an actual mistake, I doubt it. I think they just didn't bother to look. I don't know if they, I think World Book Day cares about probably, I don't know how they work. I don't know. I'm ignorant. So here I am spouting off. They probably care about money more than anything else. And that's my opinion. I don't know if they actually care about increasing literacy in this country or care about reading for pleasure or the benefits thereof. But we do as librarians, so to hell with all that, I think. And I just do my own thing. I'm not too worried. I don't give a rat's ass about the dress-up aspect of it. I play that down so much. They do dress up here. Students do dress up. They are welcome to do it on that one day. But I stress, and even in the letter home, I stress, please don't spend any money. People are in a crisis here. People are choosing food over heat, which is insane. There is scurvy in the UK. I don't know if you know that. There's rickets. I didn't even know rickets was a real thing. I literally thought it was like made up by Charles Dickens. Scurvy, which I assumed, this is like, I'm dumb. Like, I thought only pirates got scurvy. My knowledge of scurvy is from Looney Tunes cartoons, right? Or from like Sinbad the Sailor Man. That was Popeye the Popeye the Sailor Man. He didn't get scurvy because he ate his spinach. It's Sinbad. What was his name though? Sinbad the Sailor? No, just Sinbad. Remember Sinbad? That was like a thing when we were kids. I'm old, and it was like a thing. Like, you would watch stuff like that, and you would hear about pirates that had scurvy. All I know about scurvy is that I think your gums turn black and your teeth fall out. I'm sure it's worse than that. And there was a Kids in the Hall episode. This is how stupid that it is that this country has scurvy. There was a Kids in the Hall, which is a great sketch comedy show, where the guy goes to the doctor and he doesn't know what he's got, and the doctor's like, you got scurvy. And it's so ridiculous that he has scurvy. That's the joke, that there's no way there should be scurvy in, I think it was like 1991 when that sketch was here, and here we are in 2024, and it's horribly sad. It's why, you know, you have to laugh that it's just so ridiculous that we have scurvy in the UK. So what I'm saying here is, here are some activities that hopefully don't break the bank. I'm trying not to play down or ask students to spend any money or parents to spend any money. But we do something throughout the week, okay? So one of the big things is that we have our book award quiz, and it seems like that's just a basic thing, like a quiz, a book quiz, but this has been building up and building up, and I've talked about this with other podcast episodes where we are building up the idea of this book award. Eight books. One of the authors will get an actual trophy. Okay, we've got Mexikid. We've got Finn Jones was here. We've got Steady for This. We've got The Wildstorm Curse. We've got a book called Trapped by Sophie McKenzie. We've got Away with Words. We've got Loki, the third in Loki by series by Louis Stoell. And we've got Bite Risk, which is a great book. Now, those eight books I have been promoting to death. I've done a whole podcast episode on them, two actually, the last few. You can check those out if you want to learn more about how we run our book award. But one of the days that we do, on World Book Day, we have our big event. Okay, it's not just a quiz, so we do activities around it, kind of like riddles and codes and things like that, and then a big quiz on it, and the winners get other books as prizes, plus there are some other prizes. And then at the end, on live on social media, we reveal the winner of the book award. And it is a big deal. The students really enjoy learning the winner, hearing about the winner, and the authors seem to really enjoy it. So I am super excited about this and that event. And the thing is, as well, is to get staff kind of excited about it, I email them all the eight nominees, you know, the shortlisted, and I get them. If every time they read that one or review one, I'll enter their name in to win some prizes. And the prizes are always like from a bookshop, you know, a local bookshop, or, you know, maybe a Waterstones, or just some nice like tote bags and journals and things like that. I make like a whole pack of stuff. That's what I try to do. Again, I talk about like, oh, I'm not breaking the bank, but I'm really lucky that local bookshops, if I appeal to them, they have been very generous. And I would ask your local independent bookshop if they can provide, even if it's like bookmarks and stuff like that. You never know. Or ask publishers. You can ask. It's against my nature to be like, may I have this stuff? I don't like doing it. I know it's very anti-British as well. I think that's why I think Halloween doesn't work here, because I think they think it's some form of begging or something. I don't know. But, I was always baffled why Halloween isn't a big deal here. Anyway, I won't go down that rant, because in Canada it's like a $2 billion industry or something, and you know, people dress their houses up 2 months before. So that is one thing that we do. Okay, we have our big event, right? And I'm talking about little things that we've done. One time that was really fun, I'm sure, and I'm not inventing brand new things. I'm sure this is like hack library lessons where many, I'm just ripping other people off. But one thing that I really liked was I recorded a bunch of teachers, about five teachers, reading from a book. It could be like their favorite book or a book from any book from the library. Then they had to wear a mask, and that was the big thing. They had to wear a mask. I can't remember how I did it. I think they did wear a mask. Then I put their recorded reading through like a voice alteration system. That sounds so like high tech. Like I'm in a van full of lights and beeping lights. It's an app you can just get on your phone. I just ran it through that, and it was like a little contest of a video with the app with the voices, and students had to guess who it was. Sometimes it was obvious, but what I did was I zoomed really in close, because sometimes if they had hair that was very recognizable, so I just zoomed in close. I just knocked the mic filter thing off. I zoomed in close to the teacher's face, and so they were just on the mask and just their voice really, and then we went from there. So I think they really enjoyed that, and I think I might do that again. That cost nothing, and I gave some few prizes out for the students who like submitted their answers. So that's really straightforward. The other thing we'll do is an open mic. And these are hugely popular. I've done episodes... excuse me. It's that time of year. I've been ill for like 3 days. And what was I saying? Open mics. I've done whole podcast episodes on open mics, which are really fun to do. And what I like to do with open mics is get staff involved. And we do like little poetry ones where they can read poems, and the staff who get judged by applause. It can get a little tricky if you get students who are quite harsh with their voting, but the staff that get involved usually are really outgoing and really enjoy being in that kind of environment. It is packed in here. We usually have about 120 kids crammed, hanging off the walls, and we've got I appeal to the music department, and they set up mics and amps and keyboards and guitars, and the kids can come and play original music, and usually the older kids do some like performances, and it is a lot of fun. And I just like to make it like this kind of loose, very, again, not structured. It is structured, but it's very loose. This is just a fun time. You're going to spend your lunch hour kind of relaxing. You can eat your lunch in here. That's like a few times I allow a lot of food in here because we all have our rules around food. And I'm not suggesting you have food in here because it can get in your library because it can get really dicey. Anyway, it is a lot of fun, and it works in my opinion, to create this atmosphere of just, we're all in this together kind of thing. Not without getting too sappy, but it's kind of like we are here to, the library is your library. This is your space, and we can move things around to accommodate this type of activity. And look at these teachers, like to see their, I don't know, their math teacher, geography teacher in these different light, whether they're reading a poem and or acting out a thing. I mean, it's just cool. And I'm going to do that this year. It's hard because it takes a ton of planning. So there's those things. The other things that we do that is very kind of, well, I like what like passive programming wise is simply putting book recommendations in like a jar. They like to do that kind of thing. I want them to vote on the book award books with like little different colored chips. I don't care if they're even poker chip things. I've got this board game that's amazing at home called Sequence, and it's just full of like these different colored chips. I might bring those in and have a jar, and just put the book cover wrapped around the jar and the book award books, and they can just put a chip into the jar that they think should win or they hope wins. It's really simple, but have that going throughout the week. The other thing is that we're going to do an escape room, okay? And now this is something that we have established in the library, and my colleague is some sort of like escape room. She's obsessed with them in a good way, and a genius in many ways that she can create them, because my brain, it doesn't do that. I'm not good at escape rooms. Put me in an escape room, I am the anchor. I'm going to drag everybody to the bottom of the ocean because I get checked out. I just like I can't handle all there's too much information. There's too many tasks. There's a ticking clock above my head. Some people love it, and those that love it, they really do love it. And so I did a whole podcast on how to run an escape room. Essentially, it's broken up into two sections. They're all working together, but they're in two teams, if that makes sense. It's just to break things up. One of the things is like a maze, a big maze that they can draw on so they can trace their route. But when they get the correct route, as they go through the correct route, there are letters on the route, on the correct route, if that makes sense, from the starting point to the exit. And they have to take note of those letters that they've come across on the correct route. And the letters are scrambled up and put together. They form the name of a book, and then they have to go find that book on the shelf. And then the book has a laminated card on it, completely blank, but it has a little hole, okay, in the card. And on the bottom of the card, there is a number. Maybe the number says 125, and they have to go to page 125, place the card over the page 125, and it reveals one word. That word might be anything, a four-letter word like luck, and that luck is the word that opens one of the locks on the boxes because it's a word lock, yeah. And the word is luck, Luck. I should have chosen a different word, but I did not because I'm not very good at these things. And then that, so now they've secured one thing. You can see where it's going. There's all these different little paths. The other thing I like with the one of my favorite parts of the escape room is the Lego thing, which is really cool. So the Lego shapes, there's a poster of Lego shapes. This is going to be impossible to explain. There is a series of the Lego shapes and colors represent different letters, and once they work it out, I'll never be able to explain it. You can email me at LML at Glenthorne, GlenThorne dot Sutton, Sutton dot sch dot uk, and I will explain it in writing because there's no way I'm going to do it. But essentially, different Lego colors and shapes make different letters, and then once they so they're just given the shapes and the colors, but once they decode it, it goes pretty fast. But it is and that sends them maybe to the horror section where they find another riddle, things like that. It's really cool. So we'll do one of those. The other thing we're going to do, which is so simple but so popular, is a spelling bee. I wouldn't believe it. The spelling bees are so popular. And honestly, this is so straightforward. Five people to a team. There are four teams. They're in their houses. So we have four houses in the school. And each house gets a different, not each house gets their own flag with their color on it. They can lift up the flag if they, once I yell out the word, they can lift up the flag and they can then say, yep, I'm going to try to solve that or spell that word. They can nominate one person from the group to solve it, to spell it. If they get it right, they get 2 points. If they get it wrong, another house can try to steal it by putting their flag up for 1 point. Then we do a few rounds of that and then we go into the final round. The two teams with the top two scores go on. And head to head, and everybody in the table wins prizes, free books, and they get points like house points in the overall school school thing. So it is really, really good and really is really fun and easy to do. Costs nothing if you have some free bookmarks or anything, free prizes. Give them away. If not, just give them the house points, give them the adulation. They just like to compete, and the spelling bee is kind of unique here. It's massive in the US. It's like televised, but I hated them as a kid because you had to do them, and I always refer to that Brian Regan joke. You would just you would kind of sometimes you would sabotage yourself to get out. Spell cat, yeah, KAT. See you later, guys. And that's sometimes people would do that, but they don't do it here because it just kind of it's not happened here very much, and they you're not forced to do it. We were always forced to do them, and I hated them, but. Here it's like a competition. It's fun. I'm not there to trip anybody up. The words get trickier as you move along, and you can find hundreds of words online. Literally, you could grab a novel from the shelf and just spell some words. So that's it. Those are some World Book Day activities. Of course, the dress up day. So spelling bee, getting staff involved, the quiz. You can do a quiz anytime, and we're gonna do like I might do some manga stuff. Like there's tons of like different crafts you can find, but I am keeping it low key. Honestly, I am, it's not worth the stress. I think it stresses people out unnecessarily. It's just another week in your life. You are opening the library, making it a safe place. You're doing it enough, okay? You don't need to create some sort of one-off amazing event that is going to blow minds and have people talking about for years. It's not going to happen. I'm not expecting it. There's just let's just enjoy it. I will make activities here, but you what you're doing is enough, basically, is what I'm trying to say. So that's it. Another gem. Hope you enjoyed that, and I'll be back next week. Take it easy.